Earlier this year, German authorities, with the help of US intelligence, managed to foil a Russian plot to assassinate Armin Papeger, the CEO of Rheinmetall, Germany's leading arms manufacturer and one of the largest suppliers of military equipment and ammunition to Ukraine. This is reportedly one of several Russian government plans to kill European defense industry executives who have been supporting Ukraine's war effort. It's through this shadow war of secret military operations, alongside the mass stockpiling of weapons, that Russia has managed to seize the numerical advantage. But how exactly has Russia's arms industry managed to outpace NATO's production? And what does this mean for the war in Ukraine?
Rheinmetall is a leading international system supplier in the defense industry and for security technologies.
Armin Papeger's Rheinmetall is of vital strategic significance to Ukraine and an indispensable asset for NATO, making its chief executive an obvious target for Russia. In February, Rheinmetall announced plans to open a new ammunitions factory in Ukraine to produce and repair armored vehicles, including Panther tanks, the company's newest and most advanced battle tank model, as well as plans to ramp up production of artillery to 700,000 rounds per year. But the Papeger plot was only one of a series of Russian assassination plans, and it forms part of what is being described as Russia's shadow war.
Sabotage operation across NATO member states.
Attacks on military sites.
Cyber attacks, arson, hostile actions against NATO allies.
Part of a deliberate strategy by Russia to try to undermine our security.
Any disruption to NATO's ability to arm Ukraine is a win for Russia, because maintaining a superiority in arms production and keeping stocks of ammunition replenished is a decisive factor for gaining an advantage on the front line. It's this strategy, combined with a massive scaling up of arms production domestically, which is giving Russia the numerical edge in its arms race with the West. To help support us and to keep up to date with all the stuff we've got coming, don't forget to subscribe. Vladimir Putin has put defence at the centre of his country's economy. Russia is on course to increase defence spending to a record 13.5 trillion rubles in 2025, which would surpass social spending for the first time since the Soviet Union. Putin claims to have created hundreds of thousands of new jobs in the military-industrial complex, which employs an estimated 2.5% of the population. Factories producing ammunition, vehicles and equipment are often running on mandatory 12-hour shifts with double overtime. As a result, the country is producing arms and ammunition at a formidable rate. The increase in manufacturing of shells could see production double in the next year or two. Russia also has a stockpile of shells in the millions and has imported more than a million additional shells from North Korea. Missile production has increased as well. At the beginning of 2023, Russia had a stockpile of roughly 50 Iskander missiles. But by the beginning of 2024, despite using a significant number of these missiles, it had increased its stockpile to nearly 200. This success is due to the fact that Russia has always spent heavily on defence, maintaining a high level of preparedness for the outbreak of war, with the ability to scale up quickly. This is in sharp contrast to European private arms manufacturers, who generally run a more streamlined operation to maximise profits and to appease shareholders, and are constrained by the need to have orders backed up by long-term government contracts. In the US, the military-industrial complex has stronger systems and capacities for arms production, but is limited somewhat by the need for political support, a task made potentially much harder under the incoming Trump presidency. Currently, Ukraine is at a significant disadvantage, with Russia holding at least a 3-to-1 superiority in artillery fire over its neighbour, and often even more than that. This is because the West is simply too slow in providing arms and replenishing vital stocks. EU states pledged to deliver 1 million shells in 2023, but delivered barely a third of that number. And the US got bogged down in delays to a major aid package, which also restricted the supply of shells. But while Russia may be winning the arms race in 2024 in terms of numbers, these advantages are projected to be short-lived. The Kremlin faces significant limitations in the longevity and reliability of its industrial output. 80% of its tanks and armoured vehicles are not new, but have been refurbished and modernised from old stock. And by 2026, Russia will have exhausted most of this available stock. Another vulnerability is for Russia's complex weapons like missiles, because of their extensive dependence on Western-sourced components. The Kremlin has conceded that it will struggle to manufacture or source millions of additional ammunition this year and next, without new factories and a greater source of raw material, despite the fact that it has signed supply and production contracts with North Korea, Iran, Belarus, and Syria. And so, military analysts suggest that these Russian limitations and vulnerabilities present a glimmer of hope for Kyiv. As long as NATO countries can provide the capacity that Ukraine needs to get through 2024 without significant losses. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe so you don't miss out on all the good stuff we've got coming up. This is It's Complicated. We're a new channel, and we're trying to take some of the big issues and global stories that affect us all and add a bit more clarity and context where we can, and present underrepresented stories. If you like what we're doing, please let us know in the comments and in the community tab, and let us know what you want us to cover. And see you next time.